So, brethren, we're continuing today, this Sabbath day, with the book of Acts, where we will be finishing Acts chapter 2 and beginning and starting Acts chapter 3. Let's turn there. So, last Sabbath, we covered Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And we read those portions, and we explained up to verse 47, and actually 47a. I made that note because I didn't fully say everything that I felt needed to be said about verse 47. But a little recap is that the beginning of chapter 2 showed the disciples on fully assemble, waiting till Pentecost was fully come. They were all together in one accord. The power of the Spirit that they received 50 days before now manifest in them publicly. What they received privately from Yeshua when he breathed on them, as recorded in the account of John, now is made manifest to thousands of people from different places, to righteous people and to some not so righteous, some scoffers. But so he proclaims Yeshua, that Yeshua was crucified by the hands of evil men, Jews and Gentiles, but that this Yeshua is risen from the dead, and by him the power of the Spirit, which was being manifest through them, happened by the Spirit that the Savior poured out upon him. What he received of the Father, he has poured out on all of them. Even as we read last night in the account of Enoch, where it says that Son of Man was seated on the throne, and the Father and the Sovereign of Spirits poured out the Spirit of righteousness upon him as he was seated on his throne. And we know that Messiah, when he ascended on high after his resurrections, 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended on high and sat at the right hand of the Father and received of the Father the Spirit, and he poured out the Spirit, just as Peter said. We will also see such in the book of Revelations when we reach that part in the book of Revelations. So here, where we left off last Sabbath, is that so we saw the beginning of the works of the apostles that I was describing, but from verse 42, it showed the characteristics and heart of these apostles, what they were like, and how we are to prayerfully do all we can to be like them. Now the believers, those who were, and believe over about 3,000 of them who believed, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, not to rabbinical teaching, not to any, but to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and breaking of bread. That's how they devoted themselves to that. They were, in one accord. They had all things in common. So that's something we need to strive for. They were able to do it. We can. Because as Peter says, this Spirit, they're not doing this by the flesh. They're doing this by the Spirit that they have received. Right? The Spirit of Messiah that they have received. We can do it too. We could be trained or conditioned to believe, oh, we'll never all speak the same thing. We'll never. No, 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 no. That's of the flesh. If we're part of something false, that will not happen. Yes, we will never be in one accord in something that's false. But if we're in Messiah's hands, and that's what I stress from day one of when we started these online, if we're in Messiah's hands, everyone who Messiah puts in his hands will speak one thing. Doesn't mean they do it automatically. But they will speak one thing. They will have all things in in common. You know why? Because the spirit of Elohim will lead them into all truth, will lead them together into all truth. There are people all over the world that speaks the same thing. It's just that we're scattered. But with Elohim's, as we surrender, Elohim could unite us so that we all speak the same thing. Only those who are being called, who are in his hands, will speak that same thing, that same truth. So they had all things in common. And as we said, there were 3,000 added, and day by day more were, they attended the temple. They, every day. How? Because the temple was of available to them. They went there because they knew that's the place that the Eternal had chose to put his name according to the Torah. So as long as that temple is standing, that will never stop. That would never cease. And if that temple was standing today, we would need to, from time to time, go to Jerusalem to observe the feast. But that's not the case. The temple, that physical temple is history. So they were breaking bread in their homes also, together, breaking bread in their homes. And as we ended, they did all things with simplicity of heart, or with a generous heart. So our hearts must be grateful. We must be generous. That's one thing I strive to teach, to encourage in my own family. When we're in hard times, we face hard times like everybody else, right? All of us. So when we find, we have to be gracious. And when we learn to be grateful, have a gracious heart, we have peace. That creates that peace that surpasses understanding. And it's a true peace because it enables us not to allow a situation to blind our eyes from all the blessings and goodness of Elohim. Because that can easily happen if we're not careful. Because we're the problems are so sharp, so harsh sometimes, that we don't see the other blessings that we have, and then we don't have that gracious heart. But we should always strive to have that gracious heart, generous heart. So verse 7 said, to conclude that chapter 2, praising Elohim and having favor with all people. And as we said, it's a common thing among people who say they believe, well, I was happy all my life, but as soon as I became a Christian, nobody likes me anymore, I'm being persecuted. Is that what it says here? No. That's not what it said about Yeshua. That's not what it said about any of his prophets. It says they were, these people, these believers were praising Elohim and having favor with all the people. So as I mentioned last Sabbath, as believers, if we're doing things with the loving way, the spirit of truth that Elohim has instructed us, we should find that we have favor with most people we encounter. It shouldn't be that people hate us. And you know, people who will hate us will be the wicked ones. But most people, they may not agree with everything, but be willing to do what we do, but they will respect us. They will even look up to us. They will not have an issue being with us. They will feel rather safe with us. Okay? That's how it ought to be. People, if we find that everyone has an issue with us, chances are it has nothing to do with the scriptures, but it's something in our character that needs to conform to the ways of Elohim. So, and it says, and part B of this to end, of verse 4 is, and the Eternal and the Sovereign added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this is important. The people did not add themselves. The apostles did not put a big sign that says, come join our church. Free soda, free meals after Sabbath, lots of music and, you know, bright lights flashing. Church, come in. No. I'm exaggerating, but you get what I'm saying. There are people today, larger, that's all they do is advertise, things that appeal to the flesh. Okay, music. And so there's nothing wrong with music. But that's not what the kingdom of Elohim is about. That's not what the good news of Elohim is about. That's not what salvation is about. Okay? So is the sovereign that added to their number, not men. So there's no form to fill. You know, it's whoever the Spirit sees is fit. Whoever is pure, whoever is fit, whoever is good ground, that's whom Elohim adds. Day by day, those who were being saved. People, you are being saved. Once you're saved, brother, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of talk about one saved, false saved, that you're not saved. No, you're either saved or you're not. This is Elohim's perspective, not man. Now, there are people that think they're saved and they're not saved. And so they fall by the wayside for whatever reason. But those who are saved are elect. That's what it meant, that Elohim has saved them from the destruction to come. It's not saved one day. He knows the hearts. He tries their hearts and their minds. He knows who they are. We have the example in all he has chosen. For instance, Abraham, I say this all the time. He said, I have chosen Abraham because I know he will do whatsoever I ask him. And that's how he chooses. Just like he chose David. I have found my servant David with my holy oil anointed. And it says, from that day forth, his spirit never departed from David. Okay? So when you are truly saved, you are sealed by the Spirit and you will not fall away. If you fall away, you were never saved. It's just like Judas. Judas wasn't saved. Magnus wasn't saved. The scriptures make that very clear in the book of Acts and in the book of Clement. Those who are saved are saved. Okay? And we'll see that as we go on. And once we're saved, we bear the fruits. Who was reading about the fruits today? Oh, one of our sisters. Well, you shall know them by their fruits. Good fruit, a good tree will bear good fruit. And a bad tree will bear bad fruit. And the Messiah is not looking to put his seal on bad fruit. He knows the hearts. He'll put his seal on the good fruit. He's a master, for lack of better words, exchanger, if I may put it that way. He knows. This is about his everlasting kingdom. He's not going to invest in those he knows is who's going to fail. He doesn't. You know, he puts all the information is out there. But it's those that are being saved that are sealed, and their salvation comes by being sealed because he knows who they are. Let's move on to chapter 3. And brethren, if you have, and I know there's people think, some people may think differently, it's possible, but we will see that clearly as we continue through all the scriptures. In this case, the book of Acts. You will see that. So now in Acts chapter 3, I will read up until verse 10 and discuss verse 10, up until verse 10. And if time allows, we might do a little more. But I think 10 is a good place to stop. So now we saw the character. We saw their beginning in chapter 2. We saw their character in chapter 2, their work. So, and the works of those who followed them. Now let's start with chapter 3. All right, so chapter 3 of the book of Acts says, now Peter and John, or Kepha and Yochanan, were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. New covenant teaching. When is the ninth hour is the hour of prayer. It's not the only one, but it's the early hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And it doesn't mean 9 a.m. That's really not what it means. It's more a solar movement. It's around 9 a.m., but it won't be exactly. So don't tie yourself down to 9 a.m. It's a solar time. Which we, when we go over the calendar again, we'll touch on that a little bit. But not today. But keep that in mind. It's not exactly 9 a.m., but it's around that time. So, verse 2. So now let's go ahead. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, verse 6, but Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name, in the authority of the sovereign, I'm sorry, of the anointed Savior of Nazareth, Yeshua Messiah of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Verse 8, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising Elohim. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising Elohim, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. Thank you, Elohim. So back to verse 1 of chapter 3. So Peter and John were going to the temple. Just as we was said before, day by day they went to the temple. And that's why I stress too, we need to find ways to fellowship, to assemble as often as possible, because that's the admonition in the book of Hebrews. Just before the believers were, prior to the time where the believers were about to leave Jerusalem, as Messiah had come, had instructed them that when they see Jerusalem in trouble, surrounded, leave. The author read said of the book of Hebrews said we must assemble as often as possible, seeing that the because of the days are evil, and our days, these days are evil. And so we must do all we can to have to be in fellowship, because the fellowship is an iron sharpening iron. It's a n nurturing thing. It should not be something harsh. If we find it harsh, then we're not really in the congregation of Elohim. All who are in the congregation of Elohim can't have enough of the fellowship. I'm just saying, that's the nature of those whom Messiah have entered. Does it mean all of us will be able to know? But we will all try to be together as often as we can, whether it's giving a brother or a sister a phone call, or establishing a fellowship time of yourself. So I do a lot of these fellowship meetings, but guess what? You can do one too, and invite me and invite others to join with you. See, that's how it should be. Iron sharpening iron. Do you understand? I will gladly attend a fellowship time you establish. But see, we do all these things together, as water flowing in into water. We don't divide. We're not doing it apart from each other. We do all the congregation do all things together, as we saw in the latter verses of 42. So we need to so they went to the temple at the ninth hour to pray. That was their custom. And we need to understand, we need to have that same custom. Around 9 a.m., between 9, 10, around while it's still morning, so to say. Not, I'm sorry, while it's still early part of the day, before noon, try to devote some time to pray. It could be one word, two words, many words, as long as the word is is of quality from your heart and all your soul, all your mind. If you say one word with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, it will be received. Whether saying 1,000 words where you are really vacillating, that's not acceptable. You understand? So it's not how much you say, but it's the quality of what you say, where your heart is. Keep that in mind. So never feel that you need to pray long. Neither should you in your mind begrudge those or feel uncomfortable when people are praying long either. You know, we must participate in the, with those who pray long, as long as the prayer is truthful. And as long as the prayer is true, we could pray it. Okay? So the hour of prayer, the ninth, so that's, keep that in mind, as congregation of Elohim, around the ninth hour, we are to stop to pray. So verse 2. And a man lame, and we saw, and they saw the man, the lame man, the man was lame from birth. So for many years, for all his life up to this point, he was lame. And we don't know how long he had this, practice of coming to the beautiful gate to ask for alms. Alms is something we ought to do. It's something we ought to look forward to doing in the name of Elohim. For whoever lends, gives to the poor, lends to what? Elohim, the scripture says. It's not even that, but I'm just giving you that verse. It is that, but that's not just it. But it's because it's a good thing to do, to help somebody. Because just imagine, always have the gracious, free spirit to be able to see yourself being that person. All your life sitting at a gate. Well, not at a gate, being lame, and for how long he's been coming to this gate, begging. He's lame. Could you imagine yourself? That's one of the ways I've learned to be very gracious, is to be sober-minded. So I never lose sight of reality. I can always remember that there are poor people around me, that there are poor people who have no food, or there are people that are rich, but their health doesn't allow them to eat, right? They're at some ventilator or some machine being kept alive. So I can always be gracious. But the point is, being able to identify with the suffering gives you a free spirit to help. See, Messiah in the book of Mark, the Mark is a short book, but it gives you a little hint that other books don't give you. It gives you a little hint about his emotion. Because it talks to you one scenario where he saw this person who was ill, and he said his spirit groaned within him. Right? You don't, short book, but you don't see that in Matthew, Luke, or John. But in Mark, and that's why the gospel, you need all four of them. Anyway, I'm digressing. But we need to be able to identify with those in need and have a gracious, free spirit, as our sister yesterday read from one of the Psalms that says, Psalms 51, give me your free spirit, your liberal spirit, liberal in all righteousness and all good, right? So to give alms, I better move forward quickly. Oh, thank you, Felix, shared also that the ninth hour thank you, Felix. Thank you for, reminding me. See, and some of you were probably going to wait and say, I'm going to tell Jackson in, but thank you. Yes, the ninth hour, I'm sorry, is like 3 PM. I said not around 9. Right. So it's around 3-ish in the afternoon. The third hour, I get those confused. The third hour is the time that's around 9 AM in the morning. And the ninth hour is actually around 3, almost like twilight, in the afternoon. Thank you for catching that, brother. I appreciate that. And I, so going back. So seeing John in verse 3, seeing Peter and John, he asked to receive alms. But Peter said, first of all, Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. They were in one accord. They were doing the same thing. They were doing the same thing, you see? Both fixed their gaze at him. John wasn't saying, "Oh, Peter, let's go. We gotta hurry." No, they were in one accord. They were in one accord. So they look, as did John. Both of them looked, said, "Look at us." And he fixed, and the lame fixed his attention at him. So we need to call people who are in need. All right? And we are not to cast our pearls before swine. But Elohim will give us the situations, will put us in the situations where we can help people. If you notice, many times Messiah, when he, in his ministry, he did not go out necessarily saying, "Do you need help?" We don't really find that. But we found that he was always available and made people know it. People could tell. Although he was so great, he was approachable. There was the spirit of love, spirit of truth, spirit of the power, spirit of authority in him, that people felt comfortable with him, but at the same time, they knew they could look up to him. They knew they could trust him. They knew they could be helped by him. We need to pray that we could have, that people could look at us and have that sense that what are we like? We look like loving, genuine people. We're kind people. We are truthful people, and we are able, helpful, able people to one degree or another. So Peter said to, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." Sometimes a person may ask for help one way. Elohim will cut to the chase and show us how to help the person another way. In other words, a person may ask you for a fish. This is kind of an old saying, but they could be just, "Give me a fish, please, give me a fish." But you could teach them how to catch fish so they never ask again, right? So Elohim will show us how to solve the person's problem. This man was just looking to receive alms. And once he had would have received the alms, he would have been in the same situation to ask for alms again, right? But no, the spirit of Elohim said, "Look at us." And verse 5, he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold." He says, "In the name of the sovereign, in the authority of your anointed Savior of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Because he had the power of the Spirit in them. And he took him by the right hand. Why did he take him by the right hand? Help my unbelief. He was helping the man's unbelief. So he grabbed his hand and pulled him up by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately that man's feet and ankles were made strong. And did he just walk? Was he limping now a little bit? He could walk. No, he was leaping up. And leaping up, he said, began to walk and entered the temple with them. He now, instead of staying and begging, he could enter the temple and partake of the blessings in a whole new way, in a way that many others that are seating there don't even know because of what he has just experienced. Because now he doesn't just have a physical temple about him. Now he has, so to say, the aura, the temple of the spirit in his mind, in his heart, in his body, in his experience. He has experienced the presence of the temple of Elohim by the work of the Spirit, not a temple made of hands. His heart is rejoicing. So he entered the temple, them walking and leaping and praising Elohim. How many people before him walked in Elohim and were not, walked in the temple and were not praising? They did not have that experience that he had. But he had that experience. Now he could praise Elohim in spirit and truth with all his heart, all his soul. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising Elohim. So now he was doing it, and now others are seeing him. Now this one act of the apostles is having multiple effects, affecting more than one person now. And they recognize him as one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And brethren, let me quickly say, we need to, as we gather together, we need this, and as we keep gathering together, understanding that we need these things, we're not blinded, we don't become dull of hearing and dull of faith, we don't become conditioned not to believe, but we're being renewed, where our minds are being not conformed to this world who loses faith and is apostatizing. We are conforming to Elohim and developing faith, not just faith, but the faith of Messiah. So we can help people who are beyond help so that they too can praise Elohim because of the help they receive. Not by sending them to the hospitals as I had to send my wife. I look forward so that when, by the grace of Elohim, where his grace is upon me more and more, that I can heal more regularly. I've done some healing here and there spiritually. I have. Not I, but Elohim has healed a few, but it's not regular. I want it to be more regular where I could pray with confidence and have that faith and say, in the name of Yeshua, such and such, right? I can't do that. I don't have that level of faith. But once in a while, Elohim puts me in a situation where I could lay hands on somebody and heal them or whatever, or, you know, but we need that more often. We need that to be a regular part of our lives. I need that to be a regular part of my life. So as we're able to do these things, this healing, or whether it's a word of knowledge that no one could know except one who has the Spirit, things that are done by the Spirit, people, we will be encouraged, of course, and others will be in wonder and amazement. Because there are so many people that are righteous, but they are weighed down, not with the falsehood that's in the world. They don't know where to turn. They would, if there was such, if they knew of an honest group of believers to be with, they would do it, but they don't know. They've been hurt so much by the money hungry seekers and those fleecing them or those abusing them or those, you know, pushing them down with their thumbs, you know, but that's not the congregation. The congregation is uplifting in every way. So let's pray that we can also be like the first century believers, the original believers. We can be. We can speak one thing. We can have simplicity of heart or generosity of heart. We can be filled with the Spirit. We can do healing. And all of these, we can ask and receive. We can knock and the door shall be opened to us if we have that Spirit of truth. And we receive the Spirit of truth, brethren. So thank you. I stop here with the book of Acts. I stopped at verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. And we will take about 5 minutes break to reconvene to continue with the book of Revelations. Thank you, dear brethren.